Well, let's get started here finally. Can I pray for us and we'll roll here? Let's talk to God here a little bit. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the morning and good to be in your house with your people, your word, and in you. Lord, as your spirit leads us now, take us into your word. Sharpen us, Lord. We need it. And help us to sharpen each other. And Lord, within this hour, Lord, that somehow we'd be more Christ-like in this thing called marriage, and we'd glorify you in that process, Lord. So help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, and we're on week 6 communication. If you didn't get a handout, there's some back here. But let's go with a little review here first. If you remember weeks ago that Pastor Josh defined marriage as God-ordained union, and then before we move any further, I'm going to take you back. We spent some time on this here a while back, not a lot of time, but I think it really summarizes where we're going to go with communication. So I just want to hit that again. But we talk about two hearts, and we can bounce back and forth. Hope we're hanging here more than anywhere else. But we can have a proud, and man, Paul Tripp really hit this the other day, didn't he, in this video? And what goes here, guys? Self-righteous. And I was listening to that. So I was out of town that week, but I was listening to it, and I thought, man, he defined me pretty well. And I think I described a little bit of that. I like to be right. And sometimes I'll sin to be right, or think I'm right anyway. And so he talked about some of the idols of the heart. And I think I confessed here that self is probably my hardest thing. I can get caught up in these too, but we're talking about an idol of the heart that is sinful, that we either sin to get it, we'll sin if we don't get it, or we're thinking about it all the time. And me being right, I can be there. But just keep that before you, because I think as we talk about communication, you're going to see some things that you identify with too. Know the last few weeks in preparation for this, it's been a heart-searching deal for me. But we want that humble heart that wants to please and glorify God. And that's going to affect our thinking. Talk about here in a second. It's going to affect our speech, but our actions as well. When our heart's in the right spot, we're looking at peace, joy, and blessed relationship with God and with our first neighbor who you're sitting beside in a lot of cases out there today. So anyway, just keep those things before you. But let's get to your page here and again, a little bit of review. And you'll see that some of the blanks I don't have filled in today. So you're going to have to help me. All right. And some I do. You're also going to see some rhetorical questions here that I've asked myself, and I need to continue to ask myself and see where I'm at, check myself on these things. But 1 + 1 in this union thing equals, it does equal 1. But the paradox of marriage, we're going to talk more about this next week, is, as it says in Genesis, growing to be one flesh. We're different. Yet one flesh. And that brings in some challenges. And some good challenges, as a lot of our authors will say, it's a great thing about marriage. But we'll talk more about that even some today, but even more next week when we talk about dealing with some of the differences. So with that, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We talked about that. And I think some of you remember that I asked the question, why did water come out of there? Because water's in there. That's a pretty challenging, but yet profound thing. What's in my heart comes out in my mouth in our conversations and our communication. And so that's why for a little while today, we're going to spend talking about not so much the to-dos and not to-dos. There's a whole lot of that in the Bible. You and I both know that. But some of these purposes of communication and why and how these to-dos fit in there. And then we'll spend some time on the to-dos. But we really need to basically, I think, line our heart up with God's heart, His desires with our desires, or our desires with His desires, that type of thing. So we're going to talk here for a little while about biblical purposes for communication. And again, get your help here a little bit. There's got to be a lot of them. Here's three big ones. Anybody want to guess what goes in that blank or those blanks? To know and be known. Yeah. We'll talk about that first. Again, this is to be one. Yeah. And Ephesians 4, in particular, we'll get into to build each other up. And again, I'm sure there's a lot more, but we're gonna focus on those today. So with that, couple pieces of scripture. There's Matthew 12:34, be again, which we've talked about, I think, before. And how about James 3? I'm reading through the Bible now, my second year of New Testament, and reading very slowly and studying. And I got to James 3 earlier this week. Does that, you familiar with James 3? Probably get into it more next week. But man, it says, no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. We need God's help in this one, guys and gals. We really do. And you know some of that scripture where it talks about the rudder is small, but and the bridle, but the forest fire. There's just some great metaphors there, which I think maybe we all can relate to. But Proverbs 18 and 21 speaks to this being a life and death matter. Are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And so keeping that before you, I like that one. I just poking around a little bit. Taming the tongue. Wayne Mack, author of this book, Genuine Oneness Will Be Determined by the Health of Their Communication System. I'm not exactly sure what a system is in that sense, but how we communicate is going to determine a lot of the genuine oneness we have. And then Jay Adams, the basic skill needed to establish and maintain sound relationships. So you see how important we are with where we're going here today. And so with that, let's get into it. Biblical purpose, let's get into these. And I would just say, and I like what one author had to say. We talked about roles here the other day of husbands and wives. And husbands, as we look through this, he talked, and I like this, that husbands, we got to continually be moving towards our wives and in this whole communication thing. And in that sense, a big purpose of that is to we should make her feel safe as we do and not threatened. And then lastly, and there's a lot we could talk about here, but I think this is important that as guys, as we lead our families, we need to make time. We need to make time to have talk and discussion. And even as I heard a little bit of the, I'm going to second service, but I heard a little bit of the first service here talking about throwing away some of those things or putting off some of those things. We'll talk about some of that here in a little bit too, but making that time. And then for ladies, you know, respond by opening up without fear and risk or having the risk. There's going to be some fear. Talk more about that. But then help him when he's failing in this. Help him. Don't punish him. And we'll talk more about that here in just a little bit too. But when the communication's not good, help him become a better communicator. You are the helper. Remember, we talked about that here a few weeks ago. So just some things as we get in here. But to know and be known, more than just simple information. And we'll talk more as we go through here, but you're going to see that. How about God? is the God of communication, not merely relayed information, became one of us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So my question to us is, how do we know God and how are we known by God? Talk about our spouses, but how about God? He's the author of this communication. And interesting, God gave us mouths and ears, and He communicates. How does God communicate to us? Go ahead, somebody. His Word, yeah. And by His Spirit, He leads us in His Word, and sometimes He has folks share that. And then to be known by God, well, we're known by God. But He still wants to hear from us. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe wants us to pray, doesn't He? But I have found that He just didn't create Chad here. And Chad, you go do whatever you try to take care of this world by yourself. You know, I'm gonna come alongside you. I'm going to talk to you, speak to you. You can talk to me anytime you want to. Share your heart with me. I want to know what you're thinking. But I think that's so cool. That we've got a God that is into relationship and communication. So with that, how about this? Communication is a tool for discovery and self-disclosure. We got to be honest and humbly vulnerable to open up our hearts and lives. And really, if we're not going to get to the heart level here, it's really we're just communicating with another human being that we are not going to know or not be known by. That means sharing our deepest fears, joys, ambitions, values, beliefs, hurts. And then do we choose words that invite our spouse into greater vulnerability? And we'll talk some quite a bit about that today. Talked a little bit about it last week and appreciate Josh's stuff there. Let me ask this question. I could ask it in hypothetical. What's the worst thing you've ever done? Would you share that with me? No, don't share that with me. You shouldn't share that with me. And probably some of you haven't done anything that bad, but what's the worst thing you've ever thought about doing? And don't share that with me too. But is there someone you can share that with? Maybe your spouse? It'd be cool. That'd be really good. I told a story about Mike Singletary here the other day up here, and let me share another Mike Singletary story. Mike spoke that again. He was trying to be obedient to God, and he felt God called him. You need to tell your wife that when we were engaged, you had an affair. Mike said, I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to do that. And he felt God say, Mike, do you love me? Then you obey me. And so he told her. And it was a rough couple weeks, as you can well imagine. But then his wife would say, and I think Mike and his wife maybe have written a book on marriage. I'm not sure. I thought I'd heard that. But she said, if he told me that, I know there's nothing between us. Nothing. Said it was rough. So we're going to talk about some things that are not easy sometimes to share. And we're talking about our hurts and our values, beliefs, ambitions. I happened to turn on the movie the other day, Field of Dreams. And some of you guys aren't old enough to remember that, but husband and wife are sharing. In fact, the husband's sharing with the wife. People are talking to me out there. And she said, I don't want to hear about it. No, she didn't say that. She continued to drive. Well, what are they saying? And comes back a day or two later. They're telling me to build a baseball field. And I'm studying this communication stuff, and I'm thinking, they're really talking at heart level. I mean, it wasn't truth they were talking about, but it was communicating. And do I do that? So just some things as we get in here a little bit. I think obviously it's going to take a lot of grace. More about that even next week, as we've been talking about it and building trust and those kinds of things. No doubt about it. But I found this interesting. Sin corrupts our relationships, doesn't it? It makes us, what would you put in that blank? Thinking about Adam and Eve and their sin? Hide. That is interesting, isn't it? Makes us hide from each other. Well, there's a lot of truth into that. Opposite of that, sanctification brings things out of the darkness and into the light. Some of you guys are too old to know Toby Mac as well, but had a good song out there. And check that out, you know, this afternoon if you want to. But anyway, 1 John 1:7 speaks to walking in the light, doesn't it? And but it's interesting how sin is ugly. Sin is ugly, no doubt about it. It hurts. It hurts things. And all right. So why do we hold back? I didn't fill those in for you either, did I? Think about some of that. We don't want to stir up a fight. You can put fuss down there. It may not even be a fight, but fuss, either one. Don't have time for this fussing around about this stuff. How about not what word goes there? We don't, kind of like that, we don't want to hurt our spouse. Or maybe see such a, just a small thing. Don't have to deal with that. Small thing plus small things, small things. And there's some things we don't have to deal with. We've talked about that before too. But when you put enough smalls together, it becomes big. We've heard the words, turn the other cheek. Now just take it. I'm not liking it, but I'm going to take it. And kind of as we talked about, the A word here is even anger. Anger, sorry, Al. And then F, we will get, I could be rejected. Yeah. And there's probably some other reasons. Those that have come to my mind and the help of the authors a little bit. But it is risky stuff. There's no doubt about it. So as we get into this, we're talking about some deep levels of communication. I think one thing I'd like to mention here, one of the authors talked about this. I like this. There's described six different levels: small talk, information, spiritual conversations, self-disclosure, value sharing, and correction. We'll talk more about some of these. But, you know, you come home from work, and your spouse says, well, how was your day? And are they wanting... You really want to know my day? Sit down. Let's talk about it. It stunk. Let me unload on you. Or they just want to know, well, how'd your day go? Give me a little schedule. You can see how, as the word goes in here, there's some different interpretations of that by different people. And that why you're going to hear a word called understanding here in just a few minutes that we'll talk a lot about. But how about this? I like this. If a husband says to his wife, I want you to know I'm praying for you, would that be positive for you? Or how about this? She should not respond by saying, I wonder what he thinks is wrong with me now. Rather, she should assume he must really be concerned about me. He knows about my trials and fears and wants God to strengthen me. That man really loves me. Man, we can get some misunderstandings fast, can't we? Or if a wife says to her husband, I thought you would never come home. It would be wrong for him to think, there she goes complaining again, I cannot do anything right. She wants to run my life. Instead, unless he has proof to the contrary, he should assume she means, I really missed you. I love you so much I can hardly wait for you to return. Same words, different interpretations. We can get this messed up pretty easy. Yeah, just with the differences we have and mindset, but that can be a barrier. And we'll talk about maybe how to work through some of that here in just a little bit and as the days go on here. But another barrier, you guys here last week, they weren't seeing eye to eye on that one either, were they? Anyway, another barrier. One spouse oftentimes is an internal processor who listens, processes carefully, and then speaks. Or maybe the other one is an external processor who's often thinking out loud. Or maybe somewhere in between. But how about your spouse? And how about you? Where are you at with that? We'll talk more about that here in just a little bit, too. But one of the best parts of being married is be known and the good, the bad, and the ugly, and loved. Some of you have been married long enough, and some of you know each other well enough that you may have often thought, man, that's what I was going to say. Or I knew what you were thinking before you said it. And for you folks that haven't been married as long as some of us and been on this earth with our spouse for this, it takes some time. It takes some time. But it just doesn't happen either that we've got to be active in our communication and taking some risk and sharing some stuff. It's hard. And things that need to be talked through and so forth. But anyway, we all have some good, bad, and ugly, don't we? And but still loved. Still loved. All right, second one, to be one. To be one. When working on the knowing stuff, we find we often disagree. We just talked about that. What do you think? Can we disagree and still become one flesh? Can that happen? What do you think?
I hope so. None of us will.
You're exactly right. I hope so. And hope is an important word in here. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Yeah, we can. Matter of fact, I would suggest that if you don't disagree, someone's probably not being very honest. And the fact is, we've talked about this before, God has put you together. Not so that you necessarily agree, but how you are going to learn to agree. And that means there's going to be some disagreement. And the fact is that I think if you agree, we're probably going to lose the opportunity to challenge each other. I know I need challenged. I'm not always thinking right, even though I do think I think right. I've been married to Teresa long enough to know that I don't. And I need her help, as we've talked before. And there are some things, in some ways, she's changed my mind. Praise God. Probably some ways I've helped her change her mind. Praise God. But and I think as we've gotten older, that we've learned where and what and so forth in those areas and had those conversations and we'll still continue to have those conversations, but some of you are, again, I'm older. Who remembers the newlywed game? Remember that game for you newlywed? Explain the newlywed game, Robert, if you would. Can you just... there's a few more there.
Give them the church version.
Yeah, give them the church version.
Basically, it's, you know, they ask, they're separated. I mean, somebody's odd spouses ask one spouse a question, they give an answer, how they think the other spouse is going to answer. You come in, and sometimes they're right on, and sometimes they're really not right on.
Yeah, yeah. And something, I know, some things are pretty simple, and others were... I don't think I would have gotten that. So, but anyway, it was a neat game show back in the day. And but as I was thinking about this, you know, we've got to focus on understanding. I heard someone put, we need to go to school on our spouse and understanding them. And that happens with conversation and not just hearing, but listening to them well and so forth. Proverbs 1:37 speaks to the husbands live with your wives in an understanding way. But that probably goes both ways. And I think as we talk more about this word, I would just let me move on here. Don't understand is not to not understand is simply not simply arguing with her to get my way. That would be very self-righteous. To convince her that I'm right and she's wrong, and that would be more of them valuing the decision I'm going to make more than her opinions, and that's not good. And simply make her feel considered before you decide what you would like to have decided anyway. And that's not even honest. You know, I've already got my decision made, but I want to hear from you. Well, I told you I heard. Yeah. But to actually focus on the understanding. And but we want to listen and understand because you love her or you love him. And you never want to do anything without understanding how it's going to feel in her world. And because she's wise and godly and you value her perspective. Do we value and honor our spouse in an understanding way? It's a tough question. Some of the time, most of the time, we've got some things to work on there. But I've got to get in her shoes to think about how she's thinking about things and vice versa. And that takes some work. I liked one of the authors talked about this. We were talking about this at a coach's study Friday morning. As we were talking about, actually I was leading it. I thought we'll just do a little marriage thing. We'll get away from the coaching thing a little bit, which is valuable to coaching, obviously. But focus on values before the decision. Sometimes we want to go to that decision. For us guys, I think maybe that's even more natural. Got that decision. We're going to make it. And, you know, I am leading this family, by the way. And, you know, plus I'm always right. And I'm being facetious and all this, aren't I? But I think so many times we go right to that decision. And thinking about this, many times you'll find that beneath the decision you disagree on are values you really agree on. And starting the conversations there. One of the authors brought this up. He said, you got a Saturday night planned, husband and wife, and the husband says, well, I'd really like to invite our neighbors over and have some evangelism time with them and just get to know them and maybe share the gospel. And wife says, I really think we need a date night. Which one's right? Which one's wrong? There's no right or wrong in that. The value of both is probably even, but they, instead of arguing about what we're going to do, and I really appreciate you about wanting to date me tonight, and I appreciate your heart, and then let's talk a little bit about this. Maybe we could do this next Saturday night or Friday night or, you know, but to start having those conversations at the value level, I think is, I think it acknowledges our spouse and how value we, or how much value we put on them before making that decision. But, you know, there's just so many misunderstandings and just as we get into those talking about values, I think that can be left a little bit. Someone mentioned hope. As Christians, we do have a joyful hope that transcends all disagreements. We can trust and rest assured that many of our values align, and with patience, 1 Corinthians 13:4, I think that starts with patience, doesn't it? Love is patient. Da-da-da-da. And understanding, here's that word again. Others will slowly come together, or we will slowly come together. Maybe that may take a bit of a slow process. Hopefully after 40 years, 41 years, we're seeing this a little better than we were that 1 year. I don't know about you guys. My first year of marriage was probably the hardest year. But I think that's for a lot of folks. I know I said something to our kids when they first got married. You're going to find out this first year is a little challenge. Be patient, full of grace, and because it gets better and better. And some of you guys and gals know how good it gets. And some of you guys, you think it's good now, it's going to get better as we just follow God in this thing. It's awesome. It's awesome now, and each season will be more awesome. And then the last one here is to build each other up. And does someone have a Bible there? Would open up Ephesians 4. We're going to focus on 29 here in a second. But if someone would find Ephesians 4, I want to read 22 to 29 for this section. And remember, I like Pastor Josh, the first day we were in here, talked about being and doing. And before we do, and we've talked a lot of things here in a second about how to converse and communicate, he talks about being. Ephesians 4:1, remember he talked about that? It's all about being. Who are you? It talks about we're called, we're chosen, we're predestined, we're adopted. His grace was lavished on us. And then we get into, now let's communicate this way. Let's deal with things this way. But does anybody have Ephesians 4:22 to 29? I'll let you read it out loud. Go ahead, Aaron.
Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
Okay, just hang on there a second, Aaron. Stay with it here in a second. But we're going to talk here about putting off and putting on. And in between there is that renewing. And you see that a number of places very specifically. But we put this off, but to do that, we need to renew our mind. But primarily, we renew our mind through God's Word, as Nathan mentioned here a little bit ago. But go ahead, Aaron.
Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone at need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
Yeah, it's good. Let's talk about 4:29 just a little bit. The last one that Aaron read here. And it talks about putting off unwholesome talk. That word unwholesome or corrupting, I believe, is in the ancient Greek, talks about it, the word rotten, as in the bad fruit of Matthew 7:17 and 18, talking about bad fruit, bad tree, good fruit, good tree, and the roots and all that stuff. But how you doing with that? How have you done this past week with that? And maybe I should have mentioned this. Do you need some 1 John 1:9 time, which is confess. Now, when you find yourself in the middle of unwholesome talk, I think it's time just to stop and pray. And I've seen that done before. And I probably don't do it enough. But we're all going to have some unwholesome talk. Maybe before the end of the day, probably. Probably before the end of the week. And so put it off. And then what might be wholesome talk? Well, he kind of describes a little bit of this, but it's all over the Bible. But put on what is helpful, what builds one in us. Builds one in us, not tearing it down. And and that it may benefit according to their needs. Or as fits the occasion, ESV and NIV. What's appropriate? Sometimes we need to be folks of encouragement, sometimes exhortation, sometimes just wrap our arms and comforting people. But there again, we need to understand. And if we don't know our spouse, it's going to be hard to know. And how, and then I would say pray. James 1 talks about when you're struggling, pray. And I think that's one thing that I don't want to lose here. And responding in kind, such as, I'm not talking about a kind heart, but the tone starts raising a little bit, and then I start raising a little bit, and then it goes up a little bit. Ever been there? Yeah, we've been there. We've been there. And that's why I think that it may benefit that it's seasoned with grace and undeserved kindness. When I was playing some college baseball. I didn't play a lot. But we had a guy, well, some of you have been around long enough. In the major leagues, they have the Fireman of the Year award, I believe, don't they? Is that what they call the relief pitcher of the year, right, Tom? And we would call this guy the Kerosene Man. Instead of putting the fire out, he seemed to always add to the fire. And unfortunately, sometimes I can be a kerosene man. You know what I'm saying? I really did a nice job with that. I just kept adding and adding kerosene to the fire. And that's not, as Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So I think sometimes we just need to slow down and, you know, what's God want out of this? How would he like me to respond? And I think so many times we've talked, I know I've heard this. I don't hear it much anymore, but I used to hear it way too much. It's not what you said, Scott, but you want to finish this, Teresa? But how you said it. And Ben, fortunately, hopefully I'm growing some in that. And man, sometimes I take a coach's voice home. And but not that a coach's voice should be like that either. And but anyway, I like this summary. Has what I said to my spouse helped him or her to look more or less like Jesus? It's a great question. And again, we're going to fail some. 1 John 1:9. But I think, again, it starts with the heart attitude of Ephesians 4:2-3. With all humility, here it is. This is Ephesians 4 before what Aaron read here. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, such challenging good stuff. Such challenging good stuff. Well, let me go through just some ideas to throw out there. Maybe these are more do's and don'ts. How you doing with your encouragement? Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily. Am I doing that daily? As it is called today. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Not just compliments, but to encourage each other's faith. That's interesting to me. So that they won't buy into this deceit of sin. I'm supposed to help Teresa with her sin. She's supposed to help me with my sin. And it's nice to get compliments. It's nice to get compliments. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, man, that was an excellent meal last night. Or that was fantastic. Or loved your idea. Now, those are great compliments. But even more, I want to go deeper than that. And spouse, I love how God's working in your life here. I love how you're working, doing God's work. And just an encouragement in their faith, more than even compliments. And it's interesting. We observe and affirm evidence of God's grace in your spouse's speech, actions, and desires, and ambitions. It's not to puff them up. And sometimes when I get complimented, I can get puffed up, even on good stuff. But to marvel at the power and the glory of God. When I compliment Teresa, I want her to marvel not at herself, but at God. That's God glorifying encouragement, not Teresa glorifying encouragement. And not that I'm not going to encourage her in a lot of different ways and compliment her in this, but I think sometimes we can get to this and then we can start living for the praise of man, quite honestly. And how about you guys? I did this good work. I didn't hear anything. Yeah, man, I would like a little of this. And that becomes a selfish, self-righteous thing. And but rather in point of a God glorifying encouragement. But when's the last time we affirmed our spouse's spiritual growth? I know Josh spoke to that affirmation, some of that affirmation last week. But just don't let that slide, guys and gals. And How about this one? Let's go to correction. And one thing I talked about correction, I like this, is probably we should not do as much correcting as encouragement. Not that it's unimportant, but probably less of it. So I look back, and I haven't coached for probably 20 years, except maybe for some little youth stuff, but I was not as encouraging as I should have been. And we may have some guys here that can affirm that, but I've had to confess that to some of my former players. And but at the same time, how about our marriages? And, you know, I remember this very well, and it was a good lesson for me as a teacher, but as a husband as well. I had a school law professor one time in master's class that, you know, you do your homework, you come in, and then she started asking questions, and every time someone would give an answer, she'd just pick it apart. Just pick it apart. You know, about the second class, maybe third class, you know who was raising her hand for answers? Nobody. Nobody. She had shut off communication. And what a thought in just, you know, finding ways to be encouraging, and yet correction is important as well. And but as I mentioned here, we were talking as coaches here, it's part of the sanctification process is that we learn. And so there's got to be some correct. God's correcting us for our good. And that's part of that confirming or conform to Christ process of progressive sanctification. But here's where I can go. How's the defense attorney in us? We can't. It's an interesting comment. If we can't take correction, we're saying that we've already arrived there, or we don't want to get there. That's a tough challenge. That's a tough challenge. I was thinking about that yesterday. Teresa rightfully corrected me on something, and man, I went right to the defense attorney thing. And that didn't sound right. It wasn't right. She was right. And but we can go there so quickly, can't we? We can go there so quickly. As I had said, mentioned here, my old partner once hollered out of his office into my office, "I'm just so proud of my humility." That doesn't make sense, does it? And old Mag Hunsinger would say, "Humility, once you think you've got it, you probably have lost it." Man, just proud of my humility. But yeah, I like these verses. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. And let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let a righteous spouse strike me. Let them rebuke me. It is oil on my head. It's not easy to say. Yeah, it's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. It really isn't. I mentioned a couple classes ago, there was a student at DMAC that asked Principal Mr. Houchin, Rob Houchin, to, hey, I'm a senior. As school started that year, he came up to me and said, "Hey, if I'm messing up somehow, anyway, straighten me out." And I don't never remember this student never messing up, but he was a godly student and godly kid. And I just never, Rob told me that was interesting. And I don't regularly go to Teresa and say, "Hey, could you help me out with this?" And or how can I grow in my Christ likeness? And I probably need to. And I liked I'd heard that from the spouse of Charlie, that regularly Charlie would ask her, "How can I better be a better husband today?" Daily, I think she was talking about. And thought that was interesting. But how we receive correction. Do we agree with God's judgment that we are sinners? And I like this because Paul Tripp hit this here the other day on the video. Agree with God's justification. Do we stop resisting criticism because of a works righteous mentality? Sometimes I think I can go there. For 36 years, I was a work righteous mentality. I can still go there. I'd written down this. Where am I at here? We don't have to work to justify in our own minds or our own work. as bad as it can be. So I don't have to argue with Teresa about justifying my sin, because God's taking care of it. So just confess it and let's move on. And rather than trying to justify it, because we can go there. Listen to correction. Think it through. Think it through. And even if misunderstanding can still benefit. And Rob Houchin once told me, he said, you're going to hear some criticism, and as a coach you would, teacher, you're going to receive some criticism. And someone once told me, you get criticism, you just got to put it in the wastebasket. If you get a letter, just put it. And Rob said, you know, you got to listen to it, Scott. There might be even a small point there that might be of help. And I think that was good wisdom for me. How we give correction. You want to fill them in? Don't correct to punish. Yeah. That's self-righteous, isn't it? How about this one? Don't correct because of I'm in a bad mood. I can go there quick. I'm sorry, I just had a rough day. Don't seek to do what only God can do. Their heart that needs to be changed, I'm not going to change it. And I can be used of God, I know that. But debating, manipulation, arguing won't change the heart. I don't know how many times, and I've heard this before, there have been times that I, again, hopefully not as many, driving down the road and I think someone needs a heart change. It's not me. And I would just kind of tighten up and, you know, and how am I going to get her to straighten out here and understand this? And I've tried and, you know what I need to do? I'm not going to change your heart. Who's going to change your heart? God. So what do I need to do? I need to pray. I need to pray that God will change my heart. God will change your spouse's heart. Obviously, God needs to change our heart as well. Be specific as to what you see. E would be examples are helpful. This correction stuff's hard. And there's got to be a whole lot more we could add to this. But examples can be helpful. Oh, yeah, I remember. Those are just a few. How about this one? Nobody enjoys living at the foot of an active volcano or on top of a time bomb. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. It's good. Yeah, we talk about self-control. We talked about it here a while back that I just can't control it. And we're talking or having a debate with our wives or spouses, and it's getting to a little heated level, and all of a sudden the phone rings. Hello. And we talked about, we can control it. Again, not easy. But would we feel free to communicate openly? We're talking about this oneness, guys and gals. We openly with someone who easily becomes irritated, touchy, and resentful. That like cuts the phone line between husband and wife. We know they're going to blow up. Rather than respond in love and grace, even at our hard stuff. Anybody else a good powder? Or should I say a bad powder? You don't have to raise your hand. Man, hopefully I'm getting better at that, but man, I can be a powder. You know, I'm not going to apologize till she apologizes. Your spouse, you ladies, is Proverbs 31. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Your spouse doesn't need a silent partner, but a companion, a helper, someone they can talk to. How about this? Finally, talked a little bit about listening here last week. Just some keys here. The blank here should be undivided attention. Where are our eyes? I heard Pastor Scott talk a little bit about the phone. But here's where I go sometimes. I was thinking about how I'm going to defend myself. great attorney, having been trained. But man, I can go there. Even before she speaks or he speaks, are we trying to think of somehow a way to defend ourselves or have a better answer or the right answer? Hey man, we can go there. We can go there. How about this? Stop talking. James 1:19. Particularly for an external processor, are you married to an external? They're talking through things, just slow down a little bit. But sometimes we need just to stop and listen. How about this one? Ask the right kind of questions, particularly ones that are open-ended, like why and how. Why do you think you reacted that way? Or how did it make you feel? Or even summarizing, maybe just to make sure I understand. Am I understanding you right, that you're seeing things this way? But asking the right questions and purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. But a man, there's that word again, understanding will draw it out. And particularly if you're married to an internal processor, you may have to do some drawing out of that with the right questions. And then don't interrupt. Don't interrupt. A very prime biblical counseling verse for biblical counselors to follow. If one gives an answer before he hears, is his folly and shame. And I would like to finish with this little reading. How about this? I like this. It's not hard for a wife to be open and honest with a husband who is lowly in mind and meek and patient. It is not hard for a woman to communicate freely with her husband when she knows that he will bear with her and make allowances for her rather than condemn and demean her. Likewise, the wife who makes it a practice to use only such speech as is good and beneficial and fitting to the need and occasion, the wife who readily and freely forgives and seeks to be helpful and kind to her husband, will make it very easy for her husband to open up and share his life with her. In such a non-threatening, understanding atmosphere, the husband has no reason for pretense or putting on a false front or practicing deceit or hiding his fears, frustrations, faults, and anxieties. That's hard stuff, isn't it? And as we think about that, we go here. To be known and be known, to be one and to build each other up. But got that all figured out, don't we? Got some work to do. We always will. We got a gracious God and married to a gracious spouse. And give each other some grace and love as we go. But I've got to interrupt this session and get you guys going, so let me pray. Lord, thank you for being a gracious, gracious God. And thanks for not dealing with the way in which we should deserve to be dealt with. But you love us so much that it says in your word that even undeserved sinners like us, you died for us. And Lord, you loved us that much, as it says in Romans 5:8, that you demonstrated that love. Lord, how can we not respond but in obedience? Lord, thank you. And thank you for our spouses, Lord. How can we not respond to our spouse in such grace and love, Lord? And the gift that they are to us. So, Lord, as we grow in this thing called communication, we need your help again and in your grace. But grow us, Lord, in the most amazing, magnificent relationship that there is besides the one we have with you. And we'll give you the praise for that, and let our marriages then glorify you in it. In the name of Jesus, that is. Amen. All right, folks. Thank you.
We gotta get the shirt.
Autumn, you were a good listener today. My goodness. Wow. Thank you.